This is Leo for KTWH Radio, and it's mid-January. It's a cold, cold week. It kind of reminds me of how cold it was 66 years ago. This year, in 1959, there was something called the Winter Dance Party, which was a crazy idea to send a bunch of young, up-and-coming hitmakers from around the country. They all were sent up to the upper Midwest to travel around in freezing buses, performing in small and medium-sized cities all over North Dakota, Iowa, and Minnesota, and Wisconsin. What a great idea it was, because 1959 buses had terrible heating systems. But it doesn't end well in every regard. There was a very tragic event, sometimes called the Day the Music Died. It all came down to a crash of a small plane in a rural community in Iowa after a concert there. But just 3 days before February 3rd, when Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Ritchie Valens all passed away in a crash in Clear Lake, Iowa, they had played at Duluth, Minnesota. And where did they play? They played in the Duluth Armory, a historic building already at that point. And in the years since, there's been a lot of efforts by a lot of people to make that historic place, the Duluth Armory, a center of the community again. And I have somebody who's close to the KTWH family on board, involved for over 10 years, Michelle Miller, in the studio with me today to talk about the Duluth Armory, the Armory Arts and Music Center, where Michelle is co-executive director. What a ride we've been on, and welcome aboard my show, Michelle. Change of pace for you on the other side of the mic.
Right. Thanks so much, Leo. And that was a beautiful intro of the significance of the Winter Dance Party of 1959.
Yeah, 66 years. Wow, pretty much all of my life has been, you know, under the shadow of that tragic event, and just such incredible talent went down in a plane crash that day. But the Duluth Armory can be a story of rebirth in a lot of ways. And so I thought it'd be great to have you on to talk about what's happening with the Armory Arts and Music Center project, the restoration of the Armory, and where that's going, and then to talk about a great event that you've got going. So I want to just hand the ball off to you, Michelle, to see if you can carry it to the goal line and explain to people about the Armory. And I think your nonprofit has been around since 2003, so it's been a long journey, and it's coming to a great successful head. And if you could let us know what's up.
Yeah, I'll start right from the beginning. In 1999, there was actually a demo order put on the historic Duluth Armory that's located on London Road, right across from the Rose Garden. It takes up just about a block. It was built in 1915. And a group of preservationists and concerned residents who had passion for the building, when they heard it was going to be demoed in 1999, they all rallied. And after many ups and downs and trials and tribulations, it was decided that the building will be saved. And the city of Duluth said, okay, concerned citizens, it's yours.
The torch is passed to somebody.
Was not the intention of this group of individuals. Right. And so they're like, wow, how do we save it? Well, we make a nonprofit and get more people on board. Right. So that is the brief history there. And so, yes, you are right. They got together in 2002 and we became the Armory Arts and Music Center, and purchased the building from the city for a dollar in 2003 is when we got the certificate of ownership of the building. So many more trials and tribulations in the past 23 years of, there was a flood in 2012 that completely flooded the first floor. Chester Creek runs right under the building. It was built over Chester Creek.
Yeah, and a number of places in Duluth have that situation.
Exactly.
Where there's a roaring river under your feet. Well, that is a little question whether you have to deal with that in the 21st century. There's some environmental restrictions on.
Right.
Well, and you don't want the building to ever flood again, I'm sure.
Right, and so it was built up, and now it's protected. And through that process, it was discovered that it was actually a protected waterway for trout.
Yeah.
So even if that building would be torn down, nothing else could be built there because it's protected land. So let's, you know, rally behind and utilize the resource that we have and all the history, not only the music, like you mentioned, with the Winter Dance Party and over 400 more performers that have been on that historic stage. It was a military training base. The architecture itself has history, the community history of it. Because armories, you may know, across the nation, were built not only as training facilities for the military, they were meant to be 50% of usage for the community. That's
I didn't know that there was a formula. That's
yes,
quite something.
That they really were supposed to be utilized.
Frankly, the other use for the civilians that I've always thought of is as shelters during crises. But,
and that's exactly the fire of 1918, Moose Lake Fire, that displaced thousands and killed thousands. That was a refuge for those families. That just happened to be the same time the Spanish flu was happening, so that was where they went for quarantine. And so not only music, but you're right, there was auto shows. There was, at one point in 1923, it was the drill hall, the large space that was the community space, was turned into a three-ring circus. Yep. And I have an article in our archives that the big story was that this circus had the oldest living elephant. She was 103 years old or some crazy thing. She was like the oldest living elephant at the time.
So as the armory is restored, you'll be standing in the footsteps where ancient elephants once pooped.
There's so, and know what? We love hearing stories. So if listeners out there have stories, one of our volunteers remembers when she was about 11 or 12, her parents took her to a Liberace concert.
Yeah.
And she was up by the stage and he pulled her up and she danced with Liberace.
Wow. Wow.
Isn't that a fabulous story?
It is.
Right. And the military stories of people who have served there, that one individual, he's retired now. He put in his, but he retired at the max time that he could in the National Guard. He knows every nook and cranny of that building. He had keys to it all. He had moved up the ranks. And he just walks into that building and he's like, so many memories. I love this building. So, you know, from every angle. And I said the architectural interest for it, it was really large and a lot of money at the time when it was built in 1915, because it was one, I believe, the first time it was very unique that the Naval Militia and the National Guard both had units in one armory, because we're at a port of one of the largest lakes.
I read that today and thought, oh, of course, Naval Militia in an inland seaport of Duluth. Yeah.
Yeah, it was both. It's okay. Mostly known for National Guard. And, you know, National Guard is part-time. So they weren't doing their drills and, you know, active when all this community stuff was happening. It was that 50% use.
Sure, so, indeed. Yeah. And you mentioned incredible array of performers. I read names like Patsy Cline, Johnny Cash, Hank Williams, of course, the rock artist at the Winter Dance Party, who knows how many more, Louis Armstrong was in the list. And that projected out into the future from 1959, the day the music died, because one Bob Dylan from Duluth, Minnesota, then in Hibbing, saw Buddy Holly in one of his very last performances and was moved, inspired. And that's part of the energy, I suppose, behind this, is that there's such a legacy of what happened there and how it affects our present times and culture.
His buddy, Louis Kemp, if you're a Dylan fan or follow any that, he was from Duluth, and Louis and Bob Dylan, or Bob Zimmerman at the time, became friends because they attended the same Jewish camp. So Bob Dylan would come down and stay with him, and that was the case for the Winter Dance Party in 1959.
Right.
Bob Dylan was 17, Louis Kemp was 16, and they went to the event, and as it's told by Louis Kemp, that Bob Dylan was set on getting right up on by the stage because he was a big fan of Buddy Holly. And so he
wanted
pushed
eye
it.
Contact, I bet.
Right? Yep. And so we actually, Louis Kemp has been to the armory and showed us where they were standing, where Bob Dylan was standing. And so we have a big star marking the spot.
X marks the spot.
Yes, indeed. Exactly. Okay. Yep. So there's a star of where he was standing, and it's significant. And he mentions that in his Nobel Prize and when he accepted his Grammy Award.
His acceptance speech.
Yeah.
A shocking thing, Michelle. Richie Valens, who already had several hits, was 17 years old when that plane went down. Buddy Holly had 24 hits. He was only 22 years old. And Big Bopper was the old guy at 28. Combined, they're younger than the three of them total, less time than I've been alive.
The impact that Buddy Holly, that they all did, but Buddy Holly just had such a unique sound and... You know, his music is, for the time, you know, we're so used to it. It's like, well, what was, you know, so groundbreaking.
I'm sorry, it's like Mozart is in the right? in the classical canon. It's like Buddy Holly music has always been here.
Right. And one nice thing about the Winter Dance Party tribute that the Armory Arts and Music Center has been holding for several years in honor of the day the music died in the Winter Dance Party. We like to put the upbeat on it that it's the dance party.
Yes, indeed.
The headliner, Todd Eckert out of Duluth, listeners may be familiar with him and his band. Not only do they play the music of the 50s and 60s and, of course, the three that perished, there's a slideshow that has these really great images. So you're like completely immersed in the feel of it. He does costume changes. So he might have a leopard coat on like the Big Bopper liked to wear. And then he wears a cowboy hat for like Johnny Cash stuff. So
now we're talking about this benefit event
right.
that I've kind of lost track of. I'm in a sea of history and culture here. And yeah, on January 26th, this is kind of the reason we especially invited you was to talk about Armory Arts and Music with one of your, I guess this is an annual event now?
Yep, it's one of our largest fundraisers. And of course, to give tribute, there are tribute winter dance parties all over, and especially at the Surf Club in Iowa, Clear Lake, Iowa,
so
where
all
last
the scenes of other winter dance party concerts. I see.
Around this date.
Okay.
But Todd Eckert is also really well-versed in the history, and so he shares anecdotal stories and background and history and pays tribute to the pilot of the plane. People forget about him, that he perished as well.
And he was 21 years old, I just saw today.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. That's just so crazy. And, you know, you had said in the intro on this freezing day, and yeah, what a beautiful idea to go bopping around in a bus. And know what, if you come to the Armory or if you go on our website or come for a tour, we actually have the promoter's map of that tour. It looks like, remember those string art things where
you do.
And they go like all over like some crazy radar.
In fact, I have a string art map of the state of Minnesota with string going from corner to corner. That's a long way to go.
And they crisscrossed Wisconsin like three times. It was not a well planned out.
No.
But, you know, they got in where they could. And so no ditch about the promoter, you know, at that time. Being live and being out on the scene, kind of like it is still today, touring is how you got known, and you know you had to push those records. But my point of that is, I just listened to an interview today from Louis Kemp that he did on a podcast or a YouTube January 5th of this year, and he said that night when they were there, the wind chill was 44 degrees below zero. Minus 44 degrees was the wind chill.
Yes.
Let's ride on a bus that has no heat.
No heat.
Wow. So
And that's kind of what led to somebody saying, let's get a couple of these stars at least up to the next gig without freezing them to death.
Yep. It was the right intention.
It was. And the rest is history.
Right. But we're hoping for much better weather on January 26th, 2025. I believe it's supposed to be in the 20s, maybe even the 30s.
January 26th, right, Michelle?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday.
Nice night for a gig.
It is. We've done trial and error, and this has been a pretty popular date for about the last 9 years. So we're going to stick with it. It's at the Clyde Iron. It's not actually at the Armory. We're not open.
Not yet.
Not yet. We're hoping. I'll give you the whole timeline here when we get back to the building. and stuff. But yeah, so it's at the Clyde Iron. That's on the west end of Duluth on Michigan Street. Beautiful venue. And the opening act at 6 o'clock is the Mackey Brothers. I just met them last weekend. If you have not heard of the Mackey Brothers, this is a treat. They are not really brothers. They are a trio of amazing musicians. They are phenomenal. Great. So if nothing else, come to hear them, but then you want to stay for the great tribute to Buddy Holly and the rest of the gang and all kinds of 1950s music. I have to say, Todd does one of the best renditions of the Everly Brothers. I feel like you're back in time.
Yeah, I think of him as like the Swiss Army knife of vintage performers. I mean, he really, he can do Frank Sinatra too. I mean,
He dyes his hair, he slicks it back. He has a special pair of Buddy Holly glasses that he got in special order from Texas. That's where he's from.
Yeah.
Buddy Holly was from Texas.
It's Lubbock, Texas.
Right. So he's got these special glasses. He totally immerses himself in it, and it's wonderful. So I said the opening act was at 6. So doors open for general admission at 5:15. The opening act is at 6. The main show starts at 7. There's a costume contest. So if you want to put on your Bobby socks and slick back your hair, there's prizes for costumes. There's dance contests, and we've had some amazing dancers come out dancing to the music. There'll be other ways to donate and support the Armory that evening as well. We have a merchandise table and some other donation areas. And yeah, it's a fabulous event. And we just started doing VIP tickets because it's open seating, and so there's no reserved seat. But if you get in, there's only a week left for VIP tickets, you get in a half hour early and you can choose your seat. Plus, you get a complimentary drink ticket. So you're supporting a good cause, hearing great music.
So I would ask, what's the ticket acquisition info that folks need?
Right. You can go to our website, DuluthArmory.org, and right on the homepage, you can click on the link to the ticket venue, or you can give me a call at the office, 218-464-0227, and I can get you hooked up there. And for listeners on your show, Leo, this is a special deal.
Wait, can I go da-da-da-da?
Mark
this down. Get ready, folks.
Right. Once this interview is over and you give our DJ Leo a chance to get off the air, if you are the third caller to KTWH, you get a pair of VIP tickets. And the number here is
218-595-6195. 218-595-6195.
Third caller gets a pair of Buddy Holly Dance Tribute tickets, VIP tickets for January 26th.
I'll tell you what, Michelle, I will take down information of everyone who calls. So if it's the first or second caller that's the last caller, I will pass that information on.
That sounds wonderful.
Because that could happen.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm prepared for it. I'm a Boy Scout. I'm ready for
anything. Okay. Yeah. And so Leah will take the info down and I'll connect with you. And yeah, it's for a wonderful, wonderful event. As I said, this group, now the Armory Arts and Music Center, has been restoring and setting up to save this building. And now it's saved. Now it's to bring it back for community use, for music, for arts, for community events. And it's a $58 million project.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so every piece of support helps, and not only financial, but volunteering, spreading the word, sharing your stories. If you have photos, if you participated in anything at the Armory, contact us. We love stories. We love artifacts. So, and some who are very familiar with this project may seem like, yes, this has been going on forever. 3 years, we've been working with the developers, our new developer, Sherman Associates, for 3 years. And he, George, the owner, this is a passion project for him. He has done other restoration projects in Duluth, and he has family ties to Duluth. And this project is happening. In December, like 3 weeks ago, we were issued the building permit from the city of Duluth.
Because I had a question, which was that there was kind of a hint in the air that Shovel Ready was going to turn to Shovels Moving. Anytime?
Yes. So we've actually been doing abatement work. We got a grant to remove the lead paint and the asbestos because it is a 109-year-old building.
Yeah.
So they've been, the abatement workers have been working since October.
Okay.
And doing demo and scraping and moving out barrel after barrel after dumpster load of those materials so that the site is safe for when construction, full-blown construction
starts.
You
don't do remediation work unless the actual project is about to launch. So I'd say to everyone who is poo-pooing the idea that this will ever happen, this looks very real, folks.
It's very real.
I see 2026 even being mentioned as a fall date for opening summer all of the venue.
Yes, there's many milestones here that we do have a general contractor. They have been secured. Kraus Anderson is a local contractor. They have secured their subcontractors. So there's contracts being signed and there's materials being ordered and there's things happening. Like you said, there's no backtracking now.
Onwards.
Because it's onwards. So the immediate timeline, February, in just a couple weeks, we are starting some initial roof work repair that needs to be done on one section. And that, again, is grant funded, and that needs to be used up. That grant needs to be spent.
It has a window.
It does. Okay. So that is the first, it seems kind of bizarre, February, let's do roof work in Duluth, but we have to do it. So that's the first portion. And then complete, full-blown construction starts, we're looking at July. But before that, we just had a meeting with our contractors yesterday, and they are, this is the word he used, we're mobilizing the trailer, and it should be out there any week. You know, because the contractors live in a trailer while they're, they're mobilizing the trailer. So to me, that's like, it's go time.
Yep, where the supervisory personnel hang out to plot the next day's move.
Yep,
it's real. It's
happening. Yep, and as I said, July 2025 construction. They're saying about an 18-month project, but as I said, it's a 100,000 square foot historic building, a $58 million project. It may not be right on schedule, but they're planning an 18-month project opening fall of 2026.
Well, as somebody I know says, that sounds pretty awesome. And Michelle, you know that we're up against the time at some point, and I've got community events coming up soon. So I want to make a deal with you that we'll welcome you back to talk about when ground has broken and you've reached various milestones and you want to look ahead like it's getting closer to being in the front view. Like, you know, you can actually talk about when it's going to be, quotes, done.
I can do a report from the trailer.
Because one of the things I'd like to cover with you then is the kinds of things that we're going to see, the programming, the venue space, and the exhibit space, because I know there are a lot of aspects to this project that we can't get into anymore.
But if you do come to the Winter Dance Party on the 26th, we'll have renderings and posters of floor plans, and of course, board members and staff will be there that you can, in between breaks, you can talk with us, and so you can get the scoop right there as well.
Fantastic. Well, you were in on the plotting to make a little community radio station happen, and it happened, and it looks like you're at it again. Such a bigger project than ours, but you know, when you've been through one, you kind of know that you have to just keep pushing through all of the points of resistance, find end run sometimes.
Right, and not get discouraged. And, you know, and it takes a lot of people. There are still founding members on our board of directors who have stuck through all the ups and downs. There's volunteers, there's community support, and there's sponsors for all the things we do, like the sponsors I want to give a shout out for our winter dance party on the 26th, Footprint Promotional Advertising, Sir Benedict's Tavern, Northern Communities Credit Union are all sponsors. Town Square Media are supporting an event like this. And that just is a ripple effect to just show your support. And let's, as a community, bring the historic Duluth Armory back to the community.
And it'll do this whole region proud. It's not just the Duluth-only
No, not at all. There's, I've heard lots of Two Harbor stories. Indeed. People, musicians who did Battle of the Bands and were performers on the Armory stage, and lots of people in the area. That was their teenage years, is going to the Armory and dancing their hearts out.
We can leave it there, but if you're one of those three people that might call me looking for a ticket, just try your luck at 218-595-6195 as we say goodbye and give our gratitude to Michelle Miller for having been there on this community radio journey and now on this journey to get Armory Arts and Music Center up and in the 21st century. Yes. Good luck.
Thanks so much, Leo, and thanks, listeners.
Thank you. Take care now, Michelle. This is Leo for KTWH.